This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. The voice of the Saints joins us, Mike Haas. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noah. How are you doing?
Doing great. I understand you got some updates relative to high school football. Tell us about it.
Yeah. It's been a mess out there, certainly for a lot of, you know, our area with the rains this week. So there's been a change for the two games that were going to be held late this afternoon and this evening at the Shrine on Airline. They are being moved to the Superdome. This is John Curtis in Raven Gap from South Carolina. And following that is going to be Archbishop Rummel and Lafayette Christian. So the times moved a little bit. John Curtis was going to be at 4. That's now at 5. 5 o'clock here at the Superdome. And following that will be Rummel and Lafayette Christian. All of the advanced tickets will be honored. Game day tickets can be purchased here at Gate F of the Superdome. You park in Garage 5. It's the same price as it would have been at the Shrine. And the entrance is at Gate F, exterior plaza, general admission for everyone, and concessions on the west sideline, the west being the Metairie Gate G side. And so we just wanted to, you know, it's a big deal, and we wanted to make sure that everybody, that the field out there is just saturated and out of precaution for safety for everyone. Just move it here to the Superdome. The state owns both entities, so the LSED made it possible and made it happen. And so, ironically, the high school football season will begin and end at Caesars Superdome.
Actually, they get to play their first regular season game before the Saints do.
That's right. It's, you know, it's the irony of ironies, but it's such a big dream for everyone, the high school players, to finish the season here. Now, four teams will start it here, and just grateful for the LSED for kind of, you know, making it possible.
That's very kind of them,
but again,
for sure. Because
here's what I would do, right? Monitor the school's social media, our social media. This is a very fluid situation. Thus to say, you were the first to hear about it.
Breaking news right here on the Newell Norman Show.
That's right.
All right, Mike Haas, the slate is clean. You know, I was looking for, as my habits are, I always go look for the stats. Well, there are none because, you know, the season hasn't started. So here we are.
We're all doing the same thing.
Yeah. So we take on the Carolina Panthers in the renovated Caesars Superdome Sunday at noon. Looks like the weather's going to cooperate, so we should have some decent tailgating weather as well.
Yeah, it's just about, you know, finally getting the season going. Because I know that the teams are like this, too. They have watched, you know, preseason games, last year's games that are all, you know, both of them certainly don't have the relevance of a real regular season game. Like next week, preparing for Dallas, you have all these different things to look at. But now they have been looking at the same clips for months. And so, yeah, it's ready to play the game. The Superdome's ready. You know, it's exciting because it's the first game, and this has been where the Saints have been strong. Nobody has a better opening game record right now, the last five, than the Saints. Dennis Allen's won his first two, and the way this first part of the schedule is, you know, shaken out, they're all important, but this one is pretty important. The next four are tough: NFC East and NFC South. It's a weird schedule this year, and that, you know, the NFC South, we always think about towards the back end of the season, where are the Saints in relation to the NFC South? Well, on Sunday, November 10th, week 10, the Saints play Atlanta here, Atlanta Falcons. That is their last NFC South game until 2025 when they play at Tampa, the last game of the year. So they have five of their six NFC South games in the first 10 weeks and then nothing until week 18. So you're gonna learn, you know, kind of where your team is in, you know, from an early standpoint from an NFC South. Now there's still games to be played and there's still conference games, but from a divisional standpoint, you're gonna know fairly early.
So what Carolina brings, a re-engineered defense, I think six or seven new starters on their defense. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's and it's just the way it is, right? They're a good defense. Saints are a good defense. This game is going to be decided by the two respective offenses. So it's Bryce Young's second year, relatively rough rookie campaign, the number one pick from Alabama. Did not play well against the Saints in the two outings. His percentage rate was 50% for the season. So they went out and they just loaded up. They spent more than $150 million to the Panthers on offensive linemen. Damian Lewis, former LSU Tiger, is going to be the left guard. Robert Hunt, former University of Lafayette, Louisiana, is going to be the right guard. Moving Austin Corbett to center. They signed another, Josh Nyman. So they really felt like they've got to get some protection for Bryce, who was sacked 62 times, and he only played 16 games. He didn't play the full season. He missed one, but still sacked 16 times or 62 times. And then they went out and they got Deontay Johnson at wide receiver, Xavier Leggett as the number one draft pick for this year, as well as David Moore, who was with Tampa last year. So from that standpoint, they really went heavy to surround Bryce Young. Running back situation, they signed, drafted a rookie, Jonathan Brooks, but he's out because of an injury. So it's the same three from last year, Raheem Blackshear, Miles Sanders, and Chuba Hubbard. Their tight ends are banged up. I mean, this is going to go, shockingly, as Bryce Young and Derek Carr take this game. But this is more about, to me, the Saints offense against Carolina's defense. I think the Saints defense is going to be fine and ready for this game. It's kind of, where does the Saints offense shake out? Can they run the ball? Gosh, I hope I don't say that for the next 17 weeks. But can
you
they?
We
can talk about it, right? You can talk about it, right? And the same thing with the Saints defense, theoretically. You can talk about stopping the run, and you can talk about running the football, but until you do, it's just talk. It's just talk.
Right.
You've got to do it. And this offense, behind this offensive line, needs to be able to – you don't have to be the greatest in the NFL. You've got to be effective. You got to be effective enough that you're not putting your quarterback in obvious pass situations where he's going to get obvious pass rush with Trevor Penning on the right side and Fuaga on the left side. It's just simple.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah. Always a discussion about the offensive line. Are we healthy for Sunday?
Yeah, for the most part. I think Nick Saldivari still kind of nursing that calf. It's just funny, anyway, when you kind of think about it. So Carolina has three new offensive starters on the offensive line. They brought in Damian Lewis, moved Austin Corbett from guard to center. He's never taken a center snap in the NFL. And they signed Robert Hunt. Right, and it's like the strength of their offseason messaging. The Saints have three new offensive starters in different positions, and it is hardly the strength of what's been the offseason message. But, you know, it's Lucas Patrick at left guard. Fuaga has been solid. Eric McCoy at center. Ruiz at right guard. And Penning at right tackle. Ali Udo will probably play some at right tackle as well. But it's kind of like Clint Kubiak said. This is Trevor has earned the right to be where he is. Whether he stays or not will be up to Trevor Penning moving forward. And again, I go back to running the football. If you can run the football effectively where it's not third and eight, third and nine, where they're coming at Trevor in obvious pass situations a lot, then he's going to be better off. I'd run right at him. But if you can't run the ball in this league, if you can't run the ball, man, it is such an uphill battle. And the same thing with the Saints defense. If you can't stop Carolina running the football, then who cares if you've got Cam Jordan and Chase Young and Carl Granderson? Because they're at third and three, you're not bringing them in to rush to pin their ears back and rush the passer. It's just a different circumstance. So it comes back to the basics of the trenches. Can you win in the trenches and, you know, be effective stopping the run and running the football for the Saints?
If you had to name your number one concern here going into the first game from the Saints' perspective, what would it be?
Probably that. I think from a, you know, you got Alvin and Jamal, you know, I think that you just got to see it. I need this, you know, I think from a wide receiver standpoint, they kept six and, you know, in good shape. I just feel like we don't really know what this offense,
yeah,
what they want this offense to look like. I went to 28 practices, right? And you kind of know, but you don't know. And they certainly don't show anything in preseason. And so it's not like it's going to be perfect right away. This is a new deal. Like, well, us having new offensive coordinators is a big deal. We've had three since 2006. Carolina's had four in the last 4 years. They're used to this kind of stuff. It's a kind of a bigger deal for the Saints. I think that is it. It's the offensive line and the protection of Carr, and, you know, kind of not falling behind, not penalties. Gosh, if you watched the Kansas City and Baltimore game last night, that was crazy. Like, all the offensive linemen lined up behind, in the backfield. Like, how could that, if that was going to be an NFL thing, call it 100 times in preseason so teams know. Like, that, if that was going to be a thing, make it a thing. But don't make it a thing on opening night.
Right.
Like, that's insane.
That was a crazy game last night in many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I stepped away from the TV for a moment, something else was happening. Like, wait, what happened?
Right. And when I say game of inches, man, that one toe,
oh, yeah,
like, I mean, you know, just unbelievable. And so, hey, we'll find out.
How you like the time? How you like the timeout by the assistant? By the assistant coach.
Oh yeah,
by Paul Spagnuolo.
Running down the sideline and then apologizing. Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, never mind. I've been playing stopped already. You know? I hope Sunday's game is not decided by penalties.
I agree. But it always is. It's always kind of ugly at first. I mean, I think what's hurt the Saints, two areas: offensive penalties, false starts, you know, before the play, and then defensive penalties away from the football. They'll have a team third and 11 and get great pressure on the quarterback and do things, and then 50 yards away, there's a defensive holding that wasn't even a part of the play. So you got to stop the silly stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. Look forward to it. Look forward to hearing you and Deuce, as always, Sunday at noon. And we've got a big pregame lineup as well. We'll talk about that in a moment. But thank you so much, Mike Haas, for joining us, Voice of the Saints. And don't forget, folks, two games move to the Dome that were going to be played at the Shrine. Starting at what time, Michael?
Kickoff is at 5. Gate F opens at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. There you go. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the help. Yep.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.